بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا، اللهم واعف عنا وارحمنا يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم وفقهنا في دينك، وعلمنا ما جهلنا، وارزقنا العمل بما علمتنا يا أرحم الراحمين. We continue where we stopped in عمدة الفقه، باب شرائط الصلاة، chapter the conditions of صلاة. But in this chapter, inshallah, before I continue, I always like to define a few things and go through some of the things. One of the issues that I like to talk to you about is just to give you some bit of a push in the knowledge of usul al-fiqh, to see how the ulama look at things and how they divide things. The fiqh is not just the dalil. Understanding the fiqh is not about quoting a hadith or quoting the ayah. Someone would say the salat is obligatory. You need wudu for the salat. But how did you derive that? And how did you get to that conclusion? And how did you achieve that conclusion? It has to be some process. Our honorable sharia is not just yani simple, just bring the ayat and the ahadith and then here you go. There is things in the hiding. It is amongst the ulama spoken about. And what is hiding from your average student of knowledge or the layman? Uloom, sciences. And some of these sciences is, like usul al-fiqh, principle of jurisprudence, qawa'id fiqhiyya, the golden principles of fiqh, that gives an aid and help someone to understand fiqh better. For example, the Shaykh here, rahimahullah, he said the conditions of prayer. We also learned that the prayer is obligatory on whom? A Muslim, baligh, reached the age of puberty, aqil, sane. So, these are conditions. And also you have conditions that the Shaykh mentioned here. He said there are six. The first one is purification. The second one is the time of the salat, and so on. So these are conditions also. And to face the qibla and so on. Tayyib, how do I understand this issue of conditions? We spoke previously, we said, which is this is also what we talked about, the difference between a condition and a pillar in the salat. Remember? There is difference between the condition of salat and a pillar of salat. The pillar is something within the salat, like the ruku' and the sujood and recitation of the fatiha. The condition is prerequisite, like being on tahara, facing the qibla and so on. These are conditions. Tayyib. Now, the condition, what do we define the condition to be? This is a little bit advanced for you, brothers. Pay attention. For example, the lapsing of a lunar year is a condition for zakat, isn't it? You see? So the ulama of fiqh, when they say about something is a condition, so it has to exist before you do the act. It has to exist before you do the act. Tayyib. Let's understand how ulama defined condition. And this is in the science of usul al-fiqh, as I said. They say, مَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ عَدَمِهِ الْعَدَمُ وَلَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ وُجُودِهِ وُجُودٌ وَلَا عَدَمٌ لِذَاتِهِ. Translate. مَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ عَدَمِهِ الْعَدَمُ. What necessitates from the non-existence of it, non-existence. How is that? To the meaning, if you do not have the condition of that act, then that act is not correct and rejected and as if it does not exist. Example, we say the tahara is a condition of the salat. You do not have the tahara for the salat. You started praying without tahara. You prayed 2 out of 4. Or you prayed the 4 rak'at of dhuhr. Is this salat accepted? No. Does it suffice to say, wallahi, my intention was good and acts are by intention? No. You remembered that you're not on tahara when the salat ended. Do I repeat those salat or say, wallahi, my intention was good, and alhamdulillah. You have to repeat. Why? Because it was missing what? A condition. Tab, what about those four rak'at? They don't even get reward for that. The definition of the condition, مَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ عَدَمِهِ الْعَدَمِ. It's non-existence necessitate non-existence of the act. That means the act, whether you've done it or not, is equal and sayyan. Why? Because it was missing one of the conditions. Understanding this, ya ikhwah, gives you the ability of giving the fatwa. Of course, I'm not saying you're a mufti, but you see the ability. When something happens, straight away the alim goes back to the definition and say, this act is not accepted because one of the conditions did not exist. Hence, the act as if it did not exist in itself. Let's continue the definition. وَلَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ وُجُودِهِ وُجُودٍ. That means the existence of the shart, the condition, not necessarily means the existence of the act. Give you an example. You are on tahara. You made your wudu. You attained one of the conditions of salat. But is it necessary that you have to pray? No. Give you an example. The year lapsed, but you don't have money for zakat. Are you obligated to pay zakat? You don't have the money, the nisab, you don't have the money. Or you have $5, which doesn't reach the nisab. Do you have to pay the zakat? The nisab is a threshold of zakat. Do you have to pay the zakat? No. But you fulfilled one of the conditions of zakat, which is what? Lapsing of the lunar year. You fulfilled one of the conditions of salat, but if the sabab of wujub, the reason of obligation, does not exist, then you don't have to do it. True or not? What is the reason of obligation of salat? The time. Maghrib is what? 8 o'clock. The time came, the reason for obligation came. Then you have to haste to attain the conditions of the salat, which is wudu, tahara, facing the qibla, covering the awra, and all that. You see? وَلَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ وُجُودِهِ وُجُودٌ وَلَا عَدَمٌ. Means the existence of it does not necessitate existence nor non-existence. لِذَاتِهِ, for itself. طيب, what does it mean? Here he's saying that, let's say you attain the tahara, and let's say you are praying, but you are not covering the awra. So having the condition doesn't mean the salat is correct. The act is correct. Why? Because it could be missing another condition, which is covering the awra. I'll give you another example. A woman decided to pray while she is in her menses. The reason for the salat, the sabab, is the time. 8 o'clock, the maghrib. So she attained the sabab, the reason. Then she has another condition, which is facing the qibla. She attained condition. Then she covered the awra, but there was a prevention. What was it? The menses. That's why she's not obligated anymore. Even though she attained some of the conditions, yet there is a prevention, which is her menses. You understand? So what do we understand from the definition of the condition that مَا يَلْزَمُ مِنْ عَدَمِهِ الْعَدَمِ, which its non-existence necessitate the non-existence of the act. What does it mean? If you do not attain it, your act is not correct. But if you attain it, not necessarily your act is correct. You see? Why? Because either the reason for the act is not there, which is what? The timing for the salat, or having the nisab in the case of zakat, or could be the reason is there, the time of the salat has come, and you attained that condition, but there is another prevention like menses for women, or, for example, not attaining all the conditions required, the prerequisites for the salat, for example, like the covering the awra or facing the qibla. You understand? That is the definition of a condition. And that's why if there is something to do, prerequisite for the salat, you straight away measure it to the definition. If the salat not accepted without it, that means it is, you must attain it. You must attain it. But if something is outside your hand, like the time for the salat, can you move the sun to become maghrib? No, that is reason of wujub, and that is outside your hand, and you not obligated to get the reason of wujub. Give you an example for the zakat. What is the reason of zakat, the wujub of zakat? Having the nisab. What is the condition for it? Lapsing of the year. Tayyib. The year lapsed. Do I have to work hard so I can save threshold? No. If you have the threshold, you pay the zakat. If you don't have the nisab, you don't have to pay the zakat. And if you are $5 short, you don't have to work hard. You say, okay, the zakat is coming in about 3 days. I have to go work hard so I can have the nisab. Do I have to attain the nisab? No. But if it happened to be that you have the nisab, which is the reason for the zakat, if it happened that you do not have the nisab, you don't have to rush and accumulate the nisab. You understand? So that is condition. The condition is prerequisites. And the conditions are divided to three types. Conditions of obligation, which is shart wujub, shart siha, condition of correctness, and wa shart ada, condition of performance. How is that? Pay attention. Shart wujub, and we're studying the salat, conditions of obligation. Like what? Like being a Muslim. Because the kafir is not obligated to pray, even though, according to the correct opinion, he is going to be questioned about the salat. مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ So we never used to pray. So they are going to be questioned about the salat. Also, having aql, intellect. Without the intellect, you're not obligated. So it's a condition of what? Condition of correctness or condition of obligation? Condition of obligation. Tayyib, we said, al-aql, to reach the age of puberty. That's why the kid is not obligated to pray. You see, these are conditions of what? Wujub. You see? Give you example in the case of the zakat. According to the majority, having intellect is not a condition of, it's not a condition of obligation. Being in the age of puberty is not a condition of obligation. So if there is someone insane or someone young and has wealth in the bank, his guardian must pay the zakat of his wealth. You see? This is different in the zakat, you see. That's why you need to understand shurut al-wujub. According to the Ahnaf, reaching the age of puberty is shart wujub in the zakat, you see. And so on. We're not here to study the zakat, but I am giving you different examples so you can stimulate your mind. Shart sahha, we're talking about the salat, condition of correctness, tahara. Tahara, facing the qibla, covering the awra, all these are conditions of what? Siha, correctness, which you call it prerequisite. Shartul ada, the condition of performance, is to attain shartul wujub and the ability of performing the act. For example, like, yani this is sort of mixed with shartul wujub. You have to have shartul wujub. For example, someone who is a Muslim saying, and has reached the age of puberty. He has shart what? Al-wujub. But he hasn't, and he's asleep. He is asleep. Now he is missing one of the conditions of the conditions, which is shartul ada, condition of performance, because the one who is sleeping, he hasn't attained the condition of performance because he is asleep. Same thing, as-sahi, the one who forgotten. A Muslim, sane, reached the age of puberty, but he forgot the salat. He has missed one of the conditions of what? Performance. Al-ada. That's why the sahi is still obligated with the salat, but he hasn't attained the conditions of one of the conditions of performance, which is to be aware of the salat. Or to be awake for the salat. Someone slept. Yani, you slept through fajr. You still obligated with fajr or not? But you are missing one of the conditions, which is the condition of performance, to be awake. You see? There are many other divisions. I do not wish to go through them, all of them, because it'll make it way too complex for us. So this science, it's called what? Usul al-Fiqh, principle of jurisprudence. Now this is the science that you could say the way you deal with the adilla gives you that opening. And if you're not strong with usul al-Fiqh, you can never be strong as faqih. You see? You cannot be a faqih if you're not strong in usul al-fiqh. And now the shaykh, he's talking to us about the conditions of prayer. What type of conditions he's talking about? Conditions of sahha or conditions of sahha or conditions of wujub? Before we spoke about the adhan, didn't we? We said it's obligatory on the Muslim, the sane, and we spoke about sanity and temporarily losing this sanity and all that. So this is shart sihha, prerequisites. That's why he started with wudu. That's why he started with tahara. And then he coupled with timing. The timing here is in its reality, it's a reason or shart sihha? It's a reason. It's a reason. It's a reason because you're not obligated with the salat if the salat time doesn't come. What causes the salat to be obligatory upon you is what? The time of the salat. And if the time doesn't exist, you don't even have to attain the conditions of the salat. True or not? Yani, if the adhan al-isha today 9:30, quarter to 9 you lost your wudu. Are you obligated to attain the wudu? No. But 9:30 comes and the adhan started. Are you obligated to attain the wudu? Yes. It becomes obligatory upon you. Even it's obligatory upon you to buy the water if you can't find water. True or not? But quarter to 9, are you obligated to buy the water? No. You see? So the timing is what? Is a reason for the salat to become obligatory upon you. Once the salat is obligatory upon you, then it is obligatory upon you to attain the prerequisites to the salat, the conditions of the salat, shurut salat, like the tahara, satr al-awra, facing the qibla, and so on. You understand? This is how the fiqh mind works. This is, now you're sort of, I'm dipping you in the first dip in fiqh. So, if you love it, then you are on the first step, inshallah, to enjoy even more fiqh. If everything is a blade in your mind, then make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarify it in your mind, and you can download the lecture, inshallah, and re-listen to it again and again until you understand it. And make dua, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And make dua, say, اللهم يا ربي افتح. Oh my Lord, open on me the gates of knowledge. And it's not easy. By the way, it's not easy science to study. Most of the students of Islamic universities, when it comes to usul al-fiqh, satisfied is they get 60%. Rahimahullah, Ibn Qudama, he said, وَهِيَ بَابُ شَرَائِطِ الصَّلَاةِ, chapter of conditions of prayer. وَهِيَ سِتَّةٌ, it is six. So, why the shaykh mentions six? For you to remember, to memorize conditions of salat, six. That's it. And then they are listed. So, how many conditions for the salat there is? Six. He started with الطَّهَارَةُ مِنَ الْحَدَثِ, purification from al-hadath. We spoke about, what is the hadath? passing urine stool, passing wind as it translated here in the notes. So you have to be pure from the hadath, major and minor. That means attaining the wudu and attaining anything that the wudu requires. Water, you see? And if there is no wudu, then it is what? Tayammum. طيب, here he said, لقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا صلاة لمن أحدث حتى يتوضأ. Because the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the prayer of a person who does hadath is not accepted until he performs ablution. خلاص. You have to remember and remember the dalil. Because he mentioned the dalil, rahimahullah, please remember the dalil. It is muttafaq alayh in Bukhari and Muslim. So, your salat is not accepted until you perform ablution. We spoke about it in the chapter of ablution. And we said also the dalil is from the Quran. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha qumtum ila salati. You who have believed, if you stand up to perform the salat, we said in it, there is order in attaining wudu for the salat. And order necessitate what? Obligation. That means you are obligated to attain the wudu if you intend to pray. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ here, he said, La salata, denying the acceptance of salat without wudu. That makes it condition of correctness. You understand? Condition of what? Correctness. Why? Because the hadith is clear. By the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam denying the acceptance of the salat. You see? And here the denying goes on what? On the correctness of the salat. And that is, in usul al-fiqh, the principle that if one of the tools, the elements of denial comes, it comes to deny al-haqiqa, its existence and its acceptance. The Prophet ﷺ said, La salat, is it? No salat complete without the wudu or no salat accepted without the wudu? Accepted. Why? You read the translation. No, but it is no salat accepted. Why? Because there is no proof to say otherwise. That's why we have to go to the apparent meaning, which is denying the reality and the acceptance of the salat. Little bit complex, huh? But purposely today, I want to tease your mind a little bit so you don't think you are a faqih. What does it mean? Because in some ahadith, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا صلاة بلا أم الكتاب. No salat without the mother of the book. So here, that's where the ulama differed. Do you need the fatiha for the salat? Yani your salat is not accepted, or your salat is not complete. That's why the ulama differed. You see, that's why you need another proof. That's why when there is a denial of something, all the ulama will agree, it goes on the haqiqah, on its reality and its acceptance. Unless there is another proof to reduce it. To what? To the perfection and the completeness. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there is no iman for a person whom his neighbor is not safe from his harm. So that means if you harm your neighbor, you have no iman and you're a kafir, or your iman is not complete. Your iman is not complete. Through other adilla, the ulama proven that harming the neighbor is not an act of kufr. It's a sin. You see? That's why he said, there is no iman. Ulama of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, in the field of Aqidah, they understood it, that your iman is not perfect and complete if you harm your neighbor. The denial of iman here, the denial here come to the perfection. It did not come to the reality of iman. So the iman is not denied in its reality. Otherwise, the person who harm his neighbor become what? A kafir. But the iman, the denial here came for perfection. The denial here come for what? For the issue of acceptance. That's why, يعني came for the reality of salat. That's why the tahara without it, there is no salat. طب the dalil? The dalil is this hadith to be on its apparent real meaning unless you can prove otherwise, and there is no proof otherwise. There is no proof that the Prophet ﷺ ever prayed without wudu. There is no proof that the companions ever prayed without wudu. Yet we have a proof that the Prophet ﷺ said, your salat is not accepted without wudu. You see, that's why here we understand and we derive that it is a condition of sahih, of correctness. Now I'm not going to go through everything like this. But as I said, I just want to give you a little taste. Otherwise, if I go like this, this is not... We're studying Umdat al-Fiqh anymore. This has become too prolonged. And the purpose behind this is to give a short, concise introduction to fiqh for students of knowledge who want to study fiqh seriously. That's the purpose behind Umdat al-Fiqh. Not the purpose to go into all these details. But now, your appreciation to looking at the hadith and looking at the ayah is not like before. When someone says, you can't blindly follow, you have to follow the hadith, the Quran and the Sunnah, you say, yes. But how do we understand the Quran and Sunnah? How do we understand the Quran and Sunnah? As Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and Imam Shafi'i and Malik and Ahmad, they all read the hadith, La Salata. لا صلاة إلا بأم الكتاب. No salat is accepted or no salat perfectly accepted without أم الكتاب. When they read this hadith, they all understood something from it. One understood the salat is not complete, يعني perfect and complete, which is the Ahnaf, and the Jumhur understood what? Your salat is not accepted. And that's why also they differed whether you recite it loudly, you recite it after the imam recites it or not. That is all to do with this understanding and other adilla that came to fluctuate the meaning in that hadith. We'll talk about it when we get to it and we give you the correct opinion. But all what I'm trying to do is to jam this information in your mind so you don't prosecute the a'immah. Because we end up prosecuting the a'immah when we just... يعني think we understand everything and خلاص we have the hadith and the Quran and we perfect. Yes, you have. Yes, you need to follow the correct dalil, but how do we understand the dalil? This was an introduction to how do I understand the dalil. طيب. Here he said the tahara, it must be attained for the salat. We said what kind of tahara? Of course, the tahara of the body, meaning to remove any khabath, any filth, any tangible filth of the body, like stool, urine. The tahara of the thawb has to be tahir, and everything is removed from the thawb. The tahara of the place itself, the place of prayer, any impurity is to be removed. And the tahara of, yes, yourself, which is the spiritual, which is the tahara of making wudu. And here he said about the wudu. All this has to be tahir and all this has to be attained. Then he said the second condition, dukhulul waqti. Dukhulul waqti, the time. So the time has to start. Now we said this is sabab or reason or a condition. We said this is reason. I will read to you what Ibn Qudama rahimahullah said in Al-Mughni, just a small part. Here he said, Rahimahullah, وَلَنَا and to us, أَنَّهُ مَأْمُورٌ بِهَا فِي الْوَقْتِ لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَى غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودَ الْإِسْرَاءِ 78. He said, and to us, after he debated the opinions of the ulama, it is the salat, it's an obligation in its time. He's talking about the condition of the time. He said, and the proof, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, establish the salat from middle of the day, which is the zuhr, ila ghasaq al-layl, to the night, yani to the middle of the night, wa Qur'an al-fajr, and the Qur'an. Of course, the Mughni did not mention this part of the ayah, but I am adding it. Wa Qur'an al-fajr, and the Qur'an of the morning. Indeed, the Qur'an of the morning is witnessed. So the ulama, they say this is the three main times of the salat. The zuhr, the maghrib, or the isha, the maghrib and the night, and the fajr. These are the three main times of the salat. He said, وَالْأَمْرُ يَقْتَدِ الْوُجُوبَ عَلَى الْفَوْرِ, and the condition and the order, which is أقم الصلاة, is what? Order. He used usul al-fiqh again. وَالْأَمْرُ, the order necessitate what? Obligation, عَلَى الْفَوْرِ, hastily. Yani once the timing starts, hastily to do the salat. Of course, we'll talk about the timing and the divisions of timing. But that's what he said in the beginning. وَلِأَنَّ دُخُولَ الْوَقْتِ سَبَبٌ لِلْوُجُودِ, and this is the dalil I'm trying to use, and the entering of the time, beginning of the time, is sabab for what? For obligation. So sabab, a reason for obligation. طيب فَيَتَرَتَّبُ عَلَيْهِ حُكْمُهُ حِينَ وُجُودِهِ, that means what happens when the time comes in, that the hukum of obligation, the salat becomes an obligation when the time comes. And that's why the ulama, and we spoke about this, for example, if a woman gets her menses 1 minute after the adhan, then she's obligated to do what? The salat once her menses is over. Because she became obligated as soon as the time has reached. You see the point? So this is to do with the time of the salat. Here, it is a reason for the salat. Now, here he said, وَوَقْتُ الظُّهْرِ مِنْ زَوَالِ الشَّمْسِ, the time for dhuhr is when the sun passes the meridian until an object's shadow is of the same length as its height. إلى أن يصير ظل كل شيء مثله. What does it mean? Here he said, ووقت الظهر من زوال الشمس. Now, you get the sun dial. You stick it in the ground. Wallahi akhwa, pay attention. And you, when we talk about the Salat al-Asr next week, inshallah, that you'll find a lot of these calendars are off time. We did, one brother did the test of Salat al-Asr. It's in your calendar 45. The test were done quarter or 20 past 4. Why this is dangerous? Because some of you would delay Zuhr to 4:40 or 4:30. But you do not know you missed it. You missed it. So pay attention. That's why the best thing to do, if you learn, do this at home. Right. The sun dial, you put it in the ground or on a plate, you know, wood. Now, the sun dial has, yani, let's say it is 30 centimeters. First day you test it. When the sun at its zenith, yani meridian, straight with the sun dial, there will be little shadow. The shadow doesn't disappear completely, by the way. There will always be few centimeters of shadow. That is not counted, but it is calculated. So when it turns to Asr, you have to take into the consideration that 5 centimeters, for example. Let's agree it is 5 centimeters. Then the sun start to move towards the west. Once it start to move towards the west, that 5 original centimeters turn to 6, the dhuhr has started. Let's give example, it is 1 o'clock. I'm going to write those figures down, 5 minutes, and 1 p.m. Dhuhr. Just an example. Why? Because when it comes to calculate Asr, will we talk about it next week? We're going to talk about Madhhab al-Ahnaf and how they calculate Asr. Ifham. It's important. Now, it reached the meridian and started to move towards the west. The sun now, the shade started to grow. It keeps growing until everything becomes equal to it. That means if the sundial is 30 centimeters, dial 30 centimeters, I'm going to write that down too. The time of Dhuhr finishes when the shadow is 30 centimeters, correct? 35 centimeters. The 5 centimeters that exist already, once it is 35 and above, Asr time started according to the majority of the ulama. The dalil for Salatul Dhuhr is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, ومن أدلة هذا الوقت ما رواه جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم جاءه جبريل فقال قم فصله فصلى الظهر حين زالت الشمس ثم جاءه العصر فقال قم فصله فصلى العصر حين صار ظل كل شيء مثله أو قال صار ظله مثله طيب. Let's continue the دليل. Here, and the دليل for this time ما رواه جبريل as what جبريل narrated ومن أدلة هذا الوقت and from the proofs of this time ما رواه جابر بن عبد الله رضي الله عنهما and the hadith collected by Ahmad, Tirmidhi and An-Nasa'i. What did Jabir say? That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Jibreel came to him. He said to him, stand up and pray it. Which is what? Dhuhr. He prayed sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Al-Dhuhr, when the sun zalat, when it moves from the meridian. Then he came to him at the time of Asr, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said to him, get up and pray it. Which is what? Al-Asr. When the shadow of the sundial becomes equal to it. طيب. ثم جاءه المغرب فقال كم فصله فصلى حين غابت الشمس. Then he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said to him, get up and pray. He prayed when the sun started to set. ثم جاءه العشاء. He came to him at the time of عشاء. فقال قم فصله. Then he told him, get up and pray the عشاء. فصلى حين غاب الشفق. He prayed when الشفق, when the red twilight disappears. الشفق الأحمر, the red twilight. ثم جاءه الفجر. And he came to him at the time of فجر. فقال قم فصله. Get up and pray. فَصَلَّ حِينَ بَرِقَ الْفَجْرِ And he prayed when the fajr, يعني the light started to appear. أو قال حين سطع الفجر Or he said when the fajr became bright. يعني the light started to crack. ثُمَّ جَاءَهُ فِي الْغَدِ لِلظُّهْرِ Then he came to him in the next day for the ظُهْر. فَقَالَ كُمْ فَصَلِّ He said, get up and pray. فَصَلَّ الظُّهْرَ حِينَ صَارَ ظِلُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِثْلَهُ He said to him to get up and pray, and he prayed the dhuhr when the shade is equal to the sun dial or the object. Why is that? He showed him the beginning of dhuhr and the end of dhuhr. So he prayed at the beginning of dhuhr with Jibreel, and he prayed at the end of dhuhr with Jibreel. ثُمَّ جَاءَهُ الْعَصَرِ فَقَالَ كُمْ فَصَلِّهِ He came to him at the time of Asr. He said, get up and pray it. فَصَلَّ الْعَصْرَ حِينَ صَارَ ظِلُّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مِثْلَيْهِ Then he prayed Asr when the shade of the sundial or the object is twice as double of the object or the sundial. You understand? So in this hadith, the general, and I underline the word, general timing of the salat. The general timing of the salat. Salat al-dhuhr, there is a consensus on it. And the start of it is with ijma' of al-ulama. So, with the ijma' salat al-dhuhr starts when? At the time that the sun moves from its zenith. Of course, there are many adillah. One of the adillah also, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma, collected by Imam Muslim. He said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, وقت الظهر إذا زالت الشمس وكان ظل الرجل كطوله ما لم يحضر وقت العصر ووقت العصر ما لم تصفر الشمس, and so on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, the timing of the dhuhr, when the sun moves from its zenith, and the shade of the man is equal to him, as long as the time of asr hasn't arrived. Well, what does it mean? It means the time of dhuhr starts when the sun moves from its meridian, and the shade of the man equal to his height, as long as the time of Asr did not come. What does it mean? The end of it, is when the your shade equal to your height. After your height, the Asr what? Starts. And the hadith continues to say, and the end of time of Asr, when the sun turns yellow. That means, when the sun fi kabidi sama'in, in the middle, sort of, when it turns yellow. When the sun turns yellow, which is about 40 minutes to 1 hour from the time of Adhan al-Asr. We'll talk about it and the divisions of times of Asr, because the Asr continues to Maghrib. Asr has two timing according to us. Time of preferred time, which is until the sun turn yellow, and the necessary times are from yellow till Maghrib. And we'll talk about that inshallah next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. If you have a question, we'll take it inshallah. One of the elements of denial comes, it necessitates denial of the reality and the acceptance. Unless there is other proof to turn it to, the denial of completeness and perfection. Meaning, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا إيمان لمن لم يأمن جاره بوائقه. There is no iman for the person whom his neighbor is not safe from his harm. Here, denial of the iman, does it go back on a denial of the reality or on the perfection? If it is denial on the reality, like the Khawarij, who only understand one thing in their head, then it's denial of the reality, then he's a kafir. Of course, this is not Aqidat Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is what? Denial of the completeness and the perfection of iman. So your iman is not complete and perfect if you harm your neighbor. طيب, the basic principle, we're supposed to take it on its apparent meaning. We say, yes, it's correct, but there are proofs, other proof that says if someone harm his neighbor, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not announce them as kuffar. The proof, the authentic hadith, when a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, my neighbor is harming me. He did not grab his neighbor and said, you're an apostate, we're going to establish the had of apostasy on you. No, he said to him, take your bags and your clothing out, and your furniture out, and stand in front of your house, and get the people and tell them how your neighbor is harming you, and then they will curse him. That means he wasn't a kafir, because if he was an apostate, he would establish the had. That proof, combined with the other proof, result with that his iman, he's doing a sin, and that's why his iman is not perfect. طيب. The other one, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا صلاتة, there is no salat for the one who hasn't got wudu, we say there is no proof to say that you can pray without wudu. No way. That's why it has to remain on its apparent reality, which is denial, the correctness, denial, the existence, denial,
the acceptance of the salat. You see now? If your fiqh mind working, because there's no proof. That's why it remains on its reality, because the basic is to remain on reality. The other hadith, about iman, the basic principle is to remain on its reality. But there is a proof that moved it from its apparent reality, haqiqi, to perfection. Which is where the Prophet ﷺ never announced the one who harms his neighbor, which has happened in many ahadith. The Prophet ﷺ, his never announcement to be an apostate. All what he said to them is, these people are sinners and they should not do this. So this is the combination of the adillah. And that's what makes a alim, the one who is able to combine all the adillah. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. You have a question, inshallah.